Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And all living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Evil rain at Kanawdegan, thirsting for blood, wanting for war. People of Earth no longer care. Darkness grew and evil flared. Now we see the folder of heaven taking a look at mankind, fighting and killing waiting and watching. Who will he send? And what will he find? Peacemaker was the one who was chosen to carry the message of peace throughout the world, to every man, to every woman and child. But first, he must start at Ganondagan. Then he locked the sun with the moon. He came with the power of light to a woman with evil ways. Her name was Jagunsase. She believed in the words of Peacemaker. She believed in a world without war. Children of Ganondagan, listen to her sing. Story of the peacemaker, the love he would bring. To all nations, to everyone, join the spirit of Ganondagan. To all nations, join the spirit of Ganondagan. To all nations, to everyone, join the spirit of Ganondagan. To all nations, to everyone, to everyone, join the spirit of Ganondagan.
Music from Oneida singer-songwriter Joanne Shenandoah off her Silverwave record CD, Sky Woman. The name of the song is Ganondagan, a message for peace. The song's liner note says, quote, Seneca oral tradition tells of the peacemaker who arrived speaking the message of peace. The woman who was the first to accept the message of peace was known as Jigsansa, Mother of Nations. She devoted her life to the teaching of peace and persuaded all who heard her to abandon warfare, unquote. Today's program is entitled Honoring Ganondagan, the Peace Alliance Movement. The Peace Alliance is a wonderful grassroots international movement to promote peace. A primary focus of this movement is encouraging governments to establish departments of peace. We will be hearing more about the Peace Alliance, as well as featuring an interview with spokespersons from the Southwest Florida Peace Alliance Group. For indigenous peoples, peace and formal peace structures are not a new concept. Many indigenous nations throughout the world have peace chiefs. We have councils for dispute resolution and clan mothers that oversee the behavior of tribal members. Our cultural lifeways are based on ceremony, which creates a culture of peace. Reverence for Mother Earth and all life, as well as respect for one another, a basic law of our tribal societies, also ensures peace. On the rare occasions when abuse occurs, traditional tribal laws provide a number of ways to correct an individual's actions to restore peace. These include healing ceremonies, restitution to the family, or shunning and excluding that person from participating in tribal activities until he or she returns to a normal, peaceful spirit behavior. A very rare and extreme offense act that seriously disrupts tribal life could result in lifelong banishment of any tribal village, and on rare occasions, even death. Prior to European contact, this rarely occurred. We native people follow the principle of caring for seven future generations. In this ethic, one lives one's life in a way that thinks about how one's actions will impact future life. This cultural spiritual life way automatically ensures peace. Many Indian nations are confederacies, such as my Wabanaki Confederacy, that consists of the Penobscot, Passamaquoddy, Mi'kmaq, and Maliseet. The Great Plains Buffalo people, who are now commonly called Sioux, are a confederacy of the Lakota, Nakota, and Dakota. The Haudenosaunee, more commonly called Iroquois, are also known as the Six Nations Confederacy: Mohawk, Oneida, Onondaga, Cayuga, Seneca, and Tuscaroras. In many cases, our Indian confederacies have treaties with one another that ensures peace. Native nations send ambassadors to each other's councils in order to keep communications open and help maintain peace and friendship. There were times in our native histories when tribes skirmished with one another. These battles, however, did have rules of conduct. Warriors most often fought to show braveness, not to kill everyone of another tribe. Stealing a canoe or taking horses, or being able to quietly sneak up and touch an enemy with a coup stick, was a greater honor than killing. Another example of resolving disputes between tribes were activities that now may be considered sports. Stickball, now played as lacrosse, originally was a means for settling problems between tribes. So wasn't the game of hockey, and many other cases such as horse races or foot races. Prior to European contact, we native people never had large-scale total warfare in the manner which Europeans wage war. The 1493 papal decree from the Vatican, known as the Intercetera Papal Bull, delivered by the Pope, sanctioned the conquest of all the lands and peoples of the non-white Christian world. This was total and all-out warfare by Europeans against any non-Christian. This was a scorched earth policy, total destruction of one's enemy. This type of all-out warfare was a foreign concept to indigenous peoples. The true origin of why Thanksgiving, a U.S. national holiday, is celebrated in America has nothing to do with friendship between settlers and Indians. The governors of southern New England colonies, upon hearing of a successful massacre of unarmed Indians, mostly women and children, by colonial settlers, issued a declaration to hold a feast every year on the anniversary of that colonial attack upon an Indian village that was performing a harvest prayer ceremony. The Peace Alliance is an important grassroots international effort to promote peace in the 21st century. In October 2005, there was an international gathering in London, England, whose purpose was to promote peace and to call upon governments of the world to create departments of peace within their countries. The gathering, the First People's Summit for Departments of Peace, produced a wonderful statement, which I will now read. First People's Summit for Departments of Peace, London, 19 October 2005. Today, we announce the launch of an international initiative for the creation of departments of peace in governments throughout the world. Violence of all kinds is increasing. There is an urgent need to find responsible solutions, expanding on past and present peace-building successes. This international initiative will both provide resources and support for existing National Department of Peace campaigns and assist new ones as they appear in other countries. While the exact role of the department will differ in each country, its basic functions will be the same: to foster a culture of peace, to research, articulate, and help bring about nonviolent solutions to conflicts at all levels, and to provide resources for training in peace building and conflict transformation to people everywhere. We, the undersigned, joyfully vow to support and encourage each other to share information, to enrich each other's experience, to listen to one another, and to celebrate our commonalities and differences in our journey together towards a culture of peace. And that was signed by a number of representatives from many countries throughout the world. Yad Kiddushin Native Center supports this international movement. I serve on the International Board of Advisors of Radio for Peace International. We are honored that Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices is broadcast on RFPI Global Community Radio. Our RFPI station is internationally respected for promoting a world culture of peace, social, economic, and environmental justice through a diversity of radio programs aired 24 hours a day, every day of the year. Today, Wolf Mountain Radio program, focusing on the Peace Alliance U.S. campaign, is one such program among many which Yad Kiddushin Native Center have produced on the subject of peace. Before we begin my conversation with representatives of the Southwest Florida Peace Alliance Group, which Yad Kiddushin Native Center networks with, let me share some information about the U.S. Peace Alliance campaign from their excellent website, www.thepeacealliance.org. The Peace Alliance is a nonpartisan citizen action organization advocating for legislation that supports a culture of peace. We work to foster positive, proactive change toward the creation of a more nonviolent and peaceful world. The Peace Alliance is spearheading the national campaign to establish a United States Department of Peace. We have citizen organizers active in all 50 states. The Department of Peace effort was launched in April of 2003. We launched officially in Washington, D.C., with our first Department of Peace conference in conjunction with the second introduction of the bill into the 108th Congress on April 8, 2003. The campaign was originally organized under the Global Renaissance Alliance, now called the Peace Alliance Foundation, a 501c3 not-profit organization founded by our current chair of the board of directors, Marianne Williamson. The Peace Alliance, a 501c4 non-profit organization, insisted to the foundation, was founded in May of 2004 and further organized the U.S. Department of Peace campaign. It is with the help of thousands of citizen activists that we have taken this campaign from a beautiful idea into a political reality. Together, we are building the foundation and infrastructure for a more beautiful nation and world. The Peace Alliance campaign to establish a U.S. Department of Peace is focusing on citizen lobbying efforts to create a U.S. Department of Peace. There is currently a bill before both houses of Congress, House Resolution 3760 and U.S. Senate Resolution 1756. This historic measure will augment current problem-solving modalities, providing practical, nonviolent solutions to the problems of domestic and international conflict. Domestically, the Department of Peace will develop policies and allocate resources to effectively reduce the levels of domestic and gang violence, child abuse, and various other forms of societal discord. Internationally, the Department will advise the President and Congress on the most sophisticated ideas and techniques regarding peace creation among nations. Recently, Betty and I of Yad Kiddushin Native Center were invited to a Southwest Florida Peace Alliance meeting. Following an informative presentation by the group spokespersons, Rick Gutierrez, Len Powers, and David Gogan, I had the pleasure to interview them for Wolf Mountain Radio. I'd like to now welcome Rick, Len, and David to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. And Rick, let's start off with you to give a brief background about the Peace Alliance campaign to establish a U.S. Department of Peace.
Thank you, Ines. We're very excited to be here. The Department of Peace is actually a project under the Peace Alliance. And the Peace Alliance in Washington created this project in an effort to bring balance to the U.S. government. We have a Department of War, and we're looking to create a Department of Peace, whose mission would be a nonviolent communication. That would be a goal. That would be very, very interesting for all of us.
David, would you explain to our worldwide listeners some of the concepts of this bill that is now before the American public to encourage U.S. Congress to actually create this U.S. Department of Peace?
Sure, thank you. Great to be here. It's just to raise awareness, I think, number one, starting in our own local communities around the United States with different districts to make them aware of nonviolent either communication or nonviolence with anything related to that subject, as far as it reaches out, as far as internationally on a global scale to try to anti-war, anti-that kind of thing. But basically, I think it is trying to reach out to people to connect on a human level, to realize that we are all human and it doesn't have to be handled with violence.
One of the important aspects of Wolf Mountain Radio is to try to inform and educate people to have more respect for one another's cultures and more respect and appreciation for each other's wisdoms and diversity of knowledge from our own background. And to me, that is one of the fundamental concepts of peace. And I think why there's so much war and so much violence, especially in North America, is that if you look at how young people are raised, sadly, in this generation, there is really no education for peace. Would you talk about the need for bringing peace education as a primary curriculum in classrooms here in America?
Yes, in fact, the bill that's in Congress right now, it's both in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. The focus of the bill is on our domestic violence issue, and a core component of the bill itself is all about peace education and creating a peace education curriculum in our schools from early education level right on through graduate level. There's also a big effort in the bill in relation to education of the prison population. Again, that's another core component of where a tremendous amount of the violence is and lives. It's a very important part of, again, a very important large segment of the American population, which, again, needs a serious amount of education in that arena.
Now, also, when we talk about violence, what comes to my mind, of course, is domestic violence, the way in which, sadly enough, women are mistreated and disrespected and abused throughout the world. Earlier in your presentation today at this community grassroots get-together, you talked about the tragedy of domestic violence. Would you share some more thoughts on that, please?
Part of our work on a local level is to educate our political and congressional delegates on what's happening in our communities. And every community across this country is plagued with violence in their own backyard. We're here located in Collier and Lee County, and statistically the numbers, sadly enough, are very, very tragic in respect to the violence against women in particular in each county. And again, our goal is to educate our local politicians to realize that the problem is in their backyard, because that would be a reason for them to act.
Thank you, sir. As many listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, I had the honor to serve in the U.S. Peace Corps for a number of years in what's now called the Philippines, as well as in Guatemala. As far as I know, it's really the only United States government agency that tries to promote peace and friendship and respect for each other, and to try to help Americans learn about other countries and the mission of peace when we return volunteers come back. My question to you is, why has there been little interest on the part of the U.S. government and U.S. Congress to create a Department of Peace? Why has there not been more peace studies initiated in universities, let alone high schools?
Ones, for me, is probably the straightest answer would be there's no money in peace. Let's face it, when we have military operation, there's a tremendous amount of equipment and artillery that goes along with that, and obviously there's revenue behind that. There is no money in peace to have. Where are we going to generate money? I don't have a tool that I could bring to a scenario that says, okay, this tool is worth X value as a peace initiative. So that, to me, is probably the reason why we do not have a Department of Peace, is because there is no money in peace.
It's my understanding, especially from viewing your excellent presentation today, that this bill is requesting about 2% of the annual Department of Defense budget to fund the Department of Peace. Is that some of the present thinking on this?
And actually, it's 2% of the entire budget. It's not just the Department of Defense budget. It's actually the entire national budget, 2%. Again, it's a very insignificant amount from the overall budget, but it would be a huge amount to a project that would bring a sense of balance. I mean, again, if the President of the United States has someone in their ear talking about a strategy about a part of the world that's having difficulty, someone else could be bending his ear as well and creating a conversation that would be sending mediators to talk about nonviolent means to the solution of a conflict as opposed to a war.
Rick, when you were talking earlier about the importance of education, which is also what I believe in, one of the aspects of education that's very important for indigenous peoples, Native American peoples, is our culture and our ceremonies. And within that range of topic, many of our young people are brought up through our cultural arts, through our dance, and through our songs, our music, which is more than just art and entertainment. It's really oral history. It's really teaching values and principles of living together in peace and respect for each other. Earlier you mentioned the importance of using the arts as one of the ways of educating people and reaching people to help bring about a change of thinking, a change of mentality. Would you talk about how arts can be used and the importance of incorporating the arts in the broader sense of that word for peace education?
To me, it's a form of a renaissance, using art as a form and a form of expression. Anytime anyone is doing something with their own hands or expressing their own feelings, it's a form of communication. It's a form of expression. We're getting to understand them better. We're getting to culturally get to know them better. It's a matter of a broad perspective. Utilizing the arts is a common ground. And what is important in a peace movement is finding what we have common ground in the sense that if we can build on what we all have needs for, then we can certainly break down the barriers to what we have as differences.
Thank you, sir. My next question is certainly not meant in any way as an embarrassment or make anyone uncomfortable. As listeners to this program know, this is an indigenous radio program. I'm a person of color. I like the word person of culture. Personally, I was raised in a Native community where peace is a fundamental concept of our philosophy. We call the concept of peace just very, very basic of really honoring Mother Earth and having respect for all life, for all peoples. But I think one of the criticisms, at least in North America, is historically much of the peace movement has been pretty much European-American in its paradigm. And other people of culture, African-American, Asian, Pacific Islanders, Hispanic, Native American people, haven't necessarily been as welcomed into the peace movement as I think should be. Do you have any comments on how the peace movement now in the year 2006, the new millennium, can be more broad and more inclusive so that all four sacred colors of the human family are represented in the peace movement?
And that is a great question, and I do agree with you completely. This is a broad campaign, and it also needs to include other languages as well. I think that's another component. We have also a large Hispanic population now in the United States, which is just having its own struggles and definitely needs to be understood and accepted. I feel this movement, like any other peace movement, the difference here is its grassroots is one of respect and it's one of professionalism. Historically, the peace movements have really never had a sense of organization. This is a peace movement that currently has 282 district leaders out of the 440 districts in the country. We are reaching out. There is people of many races and many colors throughout the districts and through the regional conferences that were held. And again, this is a very important fact, and we are very interested in that concept. Kanago aga ya wine gae na wia ea aniwe anayo aniwe ea kanago aga ya wine gae na wia ea sego kanago aga. Sanago aga, 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 Sanago aga
knows gonna go again, gonna go again, oh, we are again, we are, say go on, gonna go again, gonna go again, oh, we are again, we are, anyway. Gonna go again, we are again, we are, say go on, gonna go again, gonna go again, we are again, we are, anyway, 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 gonna go again, gonna go again, we are in it, again, we are here.
Music from Native American singer-songwriter Lawrence Laughing off Silver Ray Records CD entitled Prayer for Peace. The name of the song is I Wish You Peace. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kedishi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Today's program is focusing on the Peace Alliance movement. The Peace Alliance is a wonderful grassroots international movement to promote peace in the world. A primary goal of the Alliance is to encourage governments to establish departments or ministries of peace. The U.S. Department of Peace campaign is urging Congress to pass legislation to create a U.S. Department of Peace. Currently, there is a bill before both houses of Congress, House Resolution 3760 and Senate Bill 1756. We encourage all of our listeners to tell your congressmen and senators to please support passage of legislation that will create a cabinet-level Department of Peace. More specific information about the Peace Alliance and ways you can get involved, please visit their Alliance website at www.thepeacealliance.org. Once again, for more specific information about the Peace Alliance and ways you can get involved and support this important work, is visiting the Peace Alliance website, www.thepeacealliance.org. Betty and I of Yat Kedishi Native Center are here at a Southwest Florida Peace Alliance District meeting, and we're talking with three representatives, Mr. Rick Gutierrez, Lynn Powers, and David Gauguin. Continuing with our conversation, I would like to ask Lynn to please share her thoughts and perspectives about peace and Peace Alliance. I've had the pleasure to meet Lynn from attending several peace and social justice events in the area. Lynn, welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio.
I think as a mother, it's natural for women to know the importance of peace. We bring life into the world. We value life very much. And we abhor war because we can't see why we can't see our children being killed or anyone's children being killed. We also understand that we are all one. All people are one. We are all connected. And I think it's quite painful. Women are sensitive. We feel the anguish and the pain when we watch TV. We see the people being killed, the children being killed. It's a big component of why we're so passionate about peace.
Thank you. peace, obviously, as we're using the term, is in the English language. And for Native American peoples, the concept for peace in our language, in our culture, goes beyond the concept of nonviolence, but really refers to how we live together as human beings with one another and with all of our other relatives. We say Kidan Montakusin, all of our relations, the animals and the plants, the fish and marine life, the bird, the winged beings, our spirit relatives. And so really peace is encompasses love and respect for all life on the planet. Having mentioned that, why do you think the current paradigm of the world is so foreign, that concept is so foreign, that right now much of the world is really being run by what I consider to be just very greedy white men?
Well, I can't disagree with you on that. I personally believe it's all money-driven. It's greed and power-driven. There's a lot of money to be made during war. A lot of war profiteering is going on. And there are power grabs going on. As long as those people are in power, and that is their intent, it's very difficult for our quiet voices to be heard in asking for peace.
What's the matter with us? We're so comfortable, cozy. What's the matter with us? We're so daydreaming, dozy. Why are we polluting our children? There's no future in that. Why put food in our poison? There's no future in that. Why do away with our woodlands? Nothing to be gained from that. Why waste the best of our farmland? Where's the logic in that? What's the matter with us? Oh, what's the matter with us? Why be warring each other? There's so much music to know. Why be fighting each other? So much good food to enjoy. Why so afraid of another? So many countries to know. Why so afraid of living when there's so much loving to do? What's the matter with us? I'm asking, do you know what's the matter with us?
The most serious as well as sad forms of violence in the world is domestic violence towards women. Historically, the disrespect and mistreatment of women was not tolerated in Native societies. In fact, many North American Indian nations prior to European disruption were matriarchies. Clan mothers not only governed our tribal life, but were also respected for their spiritual wisdoms. Native men honored women and respected their guidance. Within my own Wabanaki Native culture, we honor with ceremony women's spirit as givers of life. In our traditional agriculture, the men physically prepare the soil, but it is only the women who can plant the sacred seeds, such as the corn, beans, and squash we call the Three Sisters. If there is to be a culture of peace in the world, then violence towards women must be eliminated. It is a sad fact that domestic violence is now a major problem in most every culture on the planet. The Peace Alliance website provides some very painful information on this issue. Domestic violence is the greatest source of injury to women. The number of girls and women raped is greatly on the rise worldwide. 22% of women in the United States have reported being physically assaulted by an intimate partner. The World Health Organization has declared that violence is a leading public health problem. What are your comments about domestic violence? Lynn, do you see any improvement in society towards respecting women?
I would have to say the current media, and actually for the last probably 20 years, the media in general is not particularly respectful toward women, and we do see quite a bit of violence and hear it in the music, some of the modern music, which does show in the high incidence of domestic violence. And that is across the board. That is all economic levels. We have a lot of domestic violence here in our local area. And it basically comes down to a control issue. And it's generally a man trying to control a woman. And it's done with various manipulative means. But it's obviously extremely painful for the woman and for the children and the whole family unit. Fortunately, we have people that are involved in counseling and helping support the women. And I won't say it's all women, because there are also men that are being abused. So this is another area where we need a lot of help and a lot of attention.
Sun lake nejoni e nejoni e a sun lake. I am my voice, my prayers. She who walks Mother Earth and sings her songs. In all that is sacred, that is said, that is told. I cry for my people, for the world, for it is the world that I carry in my heart, for it is the world that I give life. I am life. I am the flower, the sky, the eagle who flies, the earth, the sea. I manifest all things. This is me. This is me. Embracing all that embodies the woman and who I am. Sharing the most intricate part of my being. I need not validation for what I hear, feel, or see. Validation is me. I carry my rhythms and heal from the drumbeat in my soul. All this in the essence of what makes me whole. I am my voice, my prayers, she who walks Mother Earth and sings her songs. In all that is sacred, that is said, that is told, I am the spirit of a woman.
Mm-hmm. You are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal, culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kitichi's Kinonwatakwisi Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat Kitichi Native Center, write to Yat Kitichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat Kitichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
The music you heard prior to our Wolf Mountain Radio program identification was Dene Navajo, singer-songwriter, Rod Mia Cody, off her Kenya Records CD, Spirit of a Woman. The song was the title track, Spirit of a Woman. We thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. As always, we welcome your comments and suggestions about our programs. Please feel free to email us at yatkiddishi@earthlink.net. Once again, our email is yatkiddishi@earthlink.net. We also urge all of our worldwide listeners to visit our Yat Kiddishi Native Center website for more information about our projects. Our website links page is also a wonderful reference source to a number of important organizations which we network with. Yat Kiddishi Native website is www.yatkiddishi.org. Once again, Yat Kiddishi Native Center's website is www.yatkiddishi.org. Next week, we continue with Program 2 of our focus on the Peace Alliance Movement. For more information on the U.S. campaign, please visit their website, www.thepeacealliance.org. For more information on the U.S. campaign's Peace Alliance, visit their website, www.thepeacealliance.org. We shall conclude today's broadcast with a brief message from journalist Walter Cronkite, urging support of a U.S. Department of Peace, followed by a song from Hopi singer-songwriter Clark Tanahankva off his Kin Record CD, Hot Villa, traditional songs from the Hopi. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, the Hopi are respected as people of peace. The name of the song is Rainbow Prism and is offered by Clark as an expression for all to live in harmony and peace. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinon Wantakwasin, to all of our relations.
This nation of ours is embroiled in what threatens to be an interminable war on terrorism. It is clear that military force and our policy of preemption are alone insufficient to make us safe. But help is on the way. Legislation has been proposed to create a U.S. Department of Peace. In the proposed Department of Peace, we would organize our present system into one conscious effort to improve humanity by achieving peace where true safety lies. The department would act not only in an international context, but also in those areas of domestic policy that endanger the nation's well-being. The proliferation of automatic weapons and the violence in our schools, our homes, and in our streets. But its primary purpose would be in international affairs, demonstrating to the rest of the world, to borrow the old motto of the Strategic Air Command, that peace is our profession. I can even see all of our consulates abroad, all of our embassies abroad, flying next to our Old Glory, peace flag, reminding all that we have a powerful branch of government dedicated solely to achieving and perpetuating peace for all people.
Oh, boy. Oh,